from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Joining me now, Peter Bukowski, Locked On Packers podcast, part of The Leap, and co-founder of The Leap. Check that out on your Substack. Follow him on Twitter at Peter_Bukowski. Peter, thanks for coming on, man. I appreciate it.
I haven't heard that intro in a while. It's good to be back on with you.
I'm glad to have you back on. Let's talk a little bit about Jordan Love. I get irritated by a lot of things fans say, but one of the things that I don't understand is those people that still doubt whether or not Jordan Love was worth the money, whether or not they should have paid Jordan Love, whether or not they should have waited for another year of Jordan Love, and so forth. He makes that throw to Wicks, and I'm just like, what are we talking about here? What is everybody arguing about? He obviously is the guy, the franchise quarterback, going forward. It was essentially one big play, and off the field he went. He looked just like he did at the end of last year.
Yeah, I thought it was telling that if you go back to the second play, the dump off to Josh Jacobs, they were trying to hit a shot play on that one. It was obviously the goal to come into this game, hit one big shot, and go home. And that was the plan. And I thought it was really telling. There was a line from, I believe it was Adam Senevich today, about the deep ball, and he mentioned the decision-making, and that the decision-making was part of what it improved. And I think that's an underrated part of what we saw early in last year. Like, if you're going to be glass half empty about this, you're going to point to that stretch in October where the offense looked disjointed and Love is throwing these interceptions. And there was a decision-making issue that was leading to a lot of these accuracy issues. And part of that, I think, was Jordan Love feeling like he had to do everything because the receivers were not in the right place. The blocking was not where it needed to be. The running game was bad. And I'm not making excuses for anybody, but I think that it was all related, and it's not a surprise, it's not a coincidence that all of a sudden Dontayvion Wicks comes into the fold. Jaden Reed, they figure out meaningful ways to use him with consistency. That was all part of how this offense came together, and that all of a sudden Jordan Love looked like this different guy when you have the pieces around him suddenly looking like competent NFL pieces.
Earlier today, Matt LaFleur's press conference, somebody asked him about Wicks and being a one, and LaFleur's like, I just want to puke every time one of you guys bring up being a one. You heard it. I'm sure you were watching the same way I was. And you look at this, and I've said this to other people, I've said it on the radio, by the end of this year or before next year, somebody is going to step out of line and be that diva, because eventually somebody is going to want to get paid one money and realize it's not going to happen doing it the way they're doing it in Green Bay. Now, who that person will be that will eventually step out of line, I don't know. But for the time being, this is the ultimate team on offense.
Yeah, and Matt LaFleur runs the most egalitarian system in the NFL right now. I think he likes it that way. I think what you're seeing play out in San Francisco right now is a little bit an extension of that, because The San Francisco 49ers don't need Brandon Ayuk to be awesome. They were awesome before Brandon Ayuk became this version of Brandon Ayuk. Now, him being that good, you know, elevated them to historic levels this last season. But they went to a Super Bowl without him playing like that. And they went to an NFC Championship game in 2021. They beat the Packers in Lambeau Field without the offense looking like that, in part because the defense was really good too. But the question that I have is anyone going to get enough target share to feel like they truly deserve that money? Or will it be the case, and I think this one is more likely, that one of these guys goes, you know what would be great? 180 targets. And I can go somewhere else and get that. I can't get that here. And so it's all well and good for everyone to be, you know, kumbaya right now with all these young players and they're growing together. But I think you're right. Eventually someone will, even if they're not being, you know, a diva, let's say, they just say, hey, you know, I want to go somewhere where I can be the focal point of the offense. I'm not going to begrudge them that necessarily. And I think that probably will happen. But you know what? If it does, if it's someone that's good, the Packers will just pay them, and that's fine. I think the question will become like, what if it's Christian Watson, and we get, you know, we see 15 games of him this year. He's really, really good, and the next offseason wants to get paid like he's T. Higgins. I think that might be where this gets complicated. And I do wonder, with a dad who's a former NFL player, if Christian might be the kind of person who's going, look, maybe it just makes sense for me to be somewhere else and get the target so that I can maximize my earning. And again, I'm not begrudging him in that. I'm not even saying that that's a bad way to approach it. I just do wonder, he's the kind of guy who I could see, not guy, but the kind of talent who I could see going, look, if I went to a different offense, I could get 150 targets. I could be a number one receiver. I could be that guy. I'm just not going to be that here. And so maybe I need to find that opportunity.
All right, I'm going to make some comparisons to previous Packers with current Packers. Tell me where I'm crazy, Peter Bukowski, okay?
Okay.
So I'm going to give you three and give you three comps, and then you can tell me if I'm close on any of them in your mind. I'm going to go Watson to Javon. I'm going to go Dobbs to Driver, Wicks to Adams.
I think it's the Wicks one where I start to get worried, just because Devontae Adams is so good at his peak.
Yep.
If you're telling me 2017 Devontae Adams, cool. Let's have a conversation about that. 2018 Devontae Adams, yeah. But once we get into 2019, 2020, 2021, Devontae Adams, that's where you lose me a little bit.
So the question is, can he make that jump like Devontae? Or maybe you don't think he's as talented in general, so it doesn't matter.
I have been, I would say, a little bit lower on the hype train with Wicks than I would say the consensus is right now. Just because I think there is a physical tools threshold that you need to cross to be Devontae Adams. I mean, Devontae Adams had like a 40-inch vertical jump. Like he was a special athlete. And I think Devontae Wicks. I'm just doing it. It's a Freudian flip. I think Dontavian Wicks has he has some similar movement skills in the way that he looks like a basketball player out there at times. I just don't know if he can get to that high end level. But I do think he can be like he could be the kind of guy that can lead your offense, that can get you 80, 85 catches in a year on a team that is really good offensively. I don't think that's out of the realm of possibilities at all. And so that part of it is interesting to me. I hate to put that on a kid who we've seen play, you know, what, really half a season as a major part of this offense. My co-founder over at The Leap, Jason Hirschhorn, wrote a really good piece about how Matt LaFleur adapted this offense, and he noted that basically every single staple concept that the Packers run, all the big play action shot plays, all that stuff, they consistently called those, especially in the second half, they called those plays for Dontavian Wicks. And I do note that with interest. Not that I want to invite the Devontae Adams comparisons, but I do think that's worth pointing out, that when they were designing these plays, these concepts that are, you know, much more than the Mike McCarthy offense designed to pick up one guy in particular on a route, that they were calling those shots for Dontavian Wicks. I almost said Devontae again. I think that matters. And so I'm really excited about what he can become. I think the geometry of a Watson Wicks read offense is wonderful. I think it all fits. The pieces really work well together. And, you know, we'll see. The funny thing about that, though, is Romeo Dobbs seems like the most consistent guy on this team. He seems like the guy that the coaches and the quarterback have the most faith in. And to me, the comparison with him is James Jones. That's the guy that I see when I see Romeo Doubs. I mean, tough, someone who's going to get open, who's going to make every contested catch.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
You don't look at anything and go, yeah, that's special, but at the end of the day, he's got 8 catches for 95 yards and a touchdown, and you're sort of like, wait, how did that happen?
Yep.
And it's just because he's always friendly to the quarterback, and the quarterback's always looking for him. So it's a really fun time for these receivers. But to our earlier points, like, it's going to get complicated soon. So enjoy this now, Packer fans, I guess is what I'm saying.
Okay, I want one other thing, Peter Bukowski. We were talking about this earlier in the show, and I talked about it on my Curtin Long podcast. This whole A.J. Dillon love affair that fans have, that's fine. But I'm sorry, if we're just talking about pure running ability, Manuel Wilson is a far better runner than A.J. Dillon. Now, maybe Dillon's better in pass pro. Maybe he knows the playbook better. Maybe he's a better locker room guy. Whatever. But if we're just talking about who deserves to be on this roster in that position, it's Wilson. The only way I keep Dillon is if he agrees to be a true fullback. Unless that happens, sayonara.
Well, I mean, you could keep him as a running back on this team and just sublimate his role a little bit, I suppose. I think the fact that he came back on the deal that he came back on suggests that, the Packers see a role for him. I think they could have just said thanks, but no thanks. Obviously, they were able to put together that CBA loophole and get him on the super cheap. But I understand your point, and I'm with you. We're in year 5 of this now. Like, what more do you need to see when you have the running backs coach talk about what he needs to get his pads down? That's been true since Boston College. If it hasn't happened by now, it's not going to happen. And so what is the expectation? So I think that's the key thing, is what do you expect out of him? And I think if you're expecting him to take some sort of big jump forward this year, I think you're going to be disappointed. If you want a quality backup running back, like, he is still that. He is good in pass protection. He can, especially in the open field in the passing game, be really dangerous, because as a DB, guys don't want to come up and tackle him. But the thing that drives me nuts, it drives me absolutely nuts. There was a play in the game on Saturday where Emmanuel Wilson looked like he was going to be stopped in the backfield, I think, or right at the line of scrimmage. And he just kind of wedges himself between two blockers and falls forward, and it's a 3 or 4 yard gain. Where are those plays on tape from A.J. Dillon?
Right,
he runs those that he should be making his money on runs exactly like that when there's nothing. Like, if you have to, there's this whole discourse on the X machine about, like, oh well, there was nothing there for him to run through. That's your job as a running back, is to create. If you can only get what is created for you, what value are you creating then? What is the point? I can pay anybody to run through a wide open hole. That's not what your job is as a running back. So. I'm kind of laughing at that whole thing. Like, the whole idea is you need to be able to create more than what is blocked for you. Otherwise, you are just a guy. And I think, unfortunately, for as much as people like A.J. Dillon the person, I think that he is someone who is just a rotational running back at this point, and expecting him to be more than that is you're setting yourself up for disappointment.
Right. Great guy. Mayor of Door County. Can have a show on 1250 when he gets on playing. I'm totally fine with it. Weekdays. Pick your time slot, AJ. I'm all in. But for right now with this team, I'm out. Quickly here, because we're going to be up against a break.
I wish Marshawn Lloyd were healthy. That would make it easier for you to say, okay, I'm out.
Yeah, Marshawn Lloyd's going to be a beast if he can stay healthy. Let's talk a little bit about the defense. I said going in, four down linemen, I feel a lot better about finally stopping the run for the first time in years. I haven't changed my opinion based on what I saw. After watching what I saw, I feel better about the Halfley defense than even just the concept and idea of it before preseason game one seeing it. What about you?
Yeah, and it's not just the schematic differences, though. I think that those are going to be beneficial to the guys. It's an attitude. It's an attitude. And there was a great quote from Eric Stokes. Your resume is your tape, or your tape is your resume, whatever the way he said it. But and we don't want passivity on tape. And I thought that was a direct, whether it's a shot or not, that was a direct reference to the way that they played under Joe Barry. It was so passive. It was so we're reacting to everything you're doing, and we're not dictating terms on anything. That was how they were playing. And I think the players just hated it. They hated playing that way. And you can just see the difference in the energy levels, in the verve that these guys play with, that they're having fun. Even the end of the roster guys, like everyone is out there just flying around. You saw Eric Stokes coming up in run support, setting a firm edge on the outside. Like, it's a preseason game. He's a former first-round pick. He was a starter on a 13-win team, and he's in a preseason game coming up and playing physical in the run as a corner. That's just not something that you would have seen last year or the year before. And I understand he's fighting for a roster spot too, but I think the energy levels, the intensity levels, it's just a different style. And I think it seems really energizing to them. It's also just such a great fit for the underachieving players on this defense. Someone like Devontae Wyatt, he's going to be unleashed in a defense like this. Like, he was a menace on Saturday. Lucas Van Ness was an absolute menace. Three tackles for loss, a sack, should have had two sacks, fell off in the backfield there. Like, it was really fun to see a little bit of proof of concept, right? To see, okay, this is what this is going to look like. This is what this can look like. And to see it right away look different, I think is a credit to Jeff Hafley, but it's an attitude adjustment. I mean, that's what it is. I don't think the biggest difference is going to be, oh, they're going to play more man coverage and more single high. Like, that there's schematic issues with every defense. Every defense can be attacked. It's a philosophy difference. It's a mindset difference that's going to create the biggest change in this defense.
But the other thing about this is the mental side of it. And I understand what you're saying about the attitude, but how many times under Pettine, maybe under Capers a little bit, definitely under Barry, did we hear, well, we have to simplify. We kind of have to dumb it down because guys are confused and still not playing and understanding what they're doing. And you hear LaFleur talking about how everybody's pretty much doing the same thing. Everybody's playing more free. You've heard the rookie safeties, Bullard and those guys, saying it's a lot more sticky when you know the why behind why you're doing something and how it's supposed to look when it's all said and done. I think being able just to play and not think is a big deal too.
Well, and I think when you see Evan Williams and Javon Bullard playing this well right away, that's just evidence of that. Like, if these two guys can come in, and there are a couple times, it was really fun to go back and watch just those two guys on tape, because there are times when they are breaking before the quarterback has fully loaded to set and throw. They're breaking to a ball carrier. They are confident in what they're seeing and flying downhill. And that is such a credit both to those guys, but also to the coaches, to say, when you see it, we want you to react in a second to those things. And like Evan Williams, I wrote about this in the Leap today. The tackle he made, he sees, and this is how he thinks the game. We've heard him give some awesome answers on some of these things. He felt the running back to the flat, saw the receiver running the slant, so he knows the concept. It's slant flat. And he knows he's in the window of the slant. The quarterback cannot throw the slant. And so he just breaks downhill to the running back before the quarterback is even loaded to throw it, because he knows that's where the ball has to go. That's high-level stuff from a rookie, but you also have a coaching staff that has empowered them to say, when you see it, fire those guns, come downhill and make a play. And man, it was really fun to see them do that.
Peter Bukowski, always fun to have you on the show. Locked On Packers, and of course, with your Substack, The Leap, make sure to check it out. Him and Jason Hirshhorn do a great job. Follow him on Twitter at Peter_Bukowski. Peter, thanks for coming on, man. Appreciate it.
Thanks, guys.
You betcha. Take care. There he is, Peter Bukowski on Wisconsin Sports Daily, served up by Wendy's here on 1250 AM The Fan.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not-so-good days, and the challenges. And acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey app.